Thank you, Mark. It's lovely once again to have the opportunity to be with you, albeit remotely and digitally in Bethel, but lovely to be able to bring God's word to you this evening. Trust God will help us through it. We're going to look at Psalm 46 together, and this is a psalm that I know that many people have found very helpful during this time of lockdown and coronavirus and so on. I've certainly found it helpful. And I've heard of a number of other people saying how helpful this psalm has been to them during these months. Because it's a psalm that was written to people who were in a time of trouble. And really what this psalm does is it shows us how God helps us when we're in a time of trouble, a time of difficulty. Sometimes we wonder, don't we, if life throws up its challenges and its situations that we really don't want, we wonder sometimes, how am I going to cope in such a time? Well, this psalm shows us how God helps us, and I'll point those things out in a few moments as we go through the psalm. But it's helpful to know the circumstances in which the psalm was written, because that can help us understand what the psalmist is getting at. You'll notice it is not a psalm of David. We're not told exactly what the circumstances were or when it was written, but many scholars who have studied the Psalms, who are far more able than I am, say this psalm probably was written in the time of the deliverance of Jerusalem from the Assyrians in 701 BC. Now, if you know your Old Testament history, in particular Isaiah chapters 37 and 38, you'll know that during the reign of King Hezekiah, Jerusalem was on the verge of being wiped out by the Assyrians. Jerusalem was surrounded by Sennacherib as the king and the Assyrian army, and there were at least 185,000 of them we know that were surrounding Jerusalem, and it looked as though Jerusalem had no chance. It was going to fall any moment. Then Hezekiah prayed. We can read that prayer in Isaiah 38, it's also in Kings as well. And after Hezekiah prayed, something quite wonderful happened. The very night before the Assyrian army was planning now to capture Jerusalem, God simply sent an angel, one angel. And that one angel brought with it a plague or a pestilence. And that night, 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian army died. Sennacherib the king was able to escape. He went back to Assyria, and within a short time he had been killed by his own two sons. Jerusalem had been delivered. Now, many people think this psalm could well have been written by Hezekiah during that particular time. And if we bear that in mind as we look at it, it helps us to see the kind of references that we have in the psalm here. I want us to note three things in particular tonight about how God helps us in troubled times. When we're going through times of difficulty, perplexity, worry, anxiety, and so on, three ways in which God promises to help his people. The first one we see here is God's protection. We see it in verse 1, verse 7, verse 11. Look there how God is described. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Verse 7, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 11, the same again, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Look at those words for a moment and see what they tell us about God. We're told he is a refuge. Now, what's a refuge? I guess, sadly, in these days, when we think of a refuge, we think of a type of place where women go after they've been abused by their husbands, partners, or by men, for a place of safety where these men can't get at them. And one thing a refuge is, above anything else, is a place of safety. And this is showing us that when we are with God, when we are trusting in him, we are in a place that is absolute strength. God is all sufficient for all that we need. We are told that he is our strength in times of trouble, in times of difficulty. Notice that in times when we have no strength and we wonder, however are we going to cope? How are we going to get through this? We can feel weak. We can feel fragile. We can feel helpless. What an encouragement it is to know that we come to the one, we belong to the one and trust in the one who has all the strength needed and more to see us through that particular situation. He is a refuge. He is a strength. It's a lovely verse in Psalm 84, verse 5, that says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you." And I'm sure that many of us during these past few months can say we are so thankful that our strength has been in God. What a blessing it has been. But then there's another word, verse 7, verse 11, fortress. When you think of a fortress, what comes to mind? See if you can picture one in your mind now. Usually great big walls and towers, great big thick bricks and so on, little windows perhaps, and no more than that. A fortress is a place of complete protection. And people who are on the run from their enemies, they go to the fortress, and there they feel protected. The enemy shouldn't be able to get in. Showing how God is our protector, protects our minds, protects our spirits, protects our bodies, protects us in times of difficulty. But one other very important word that God is, back to verse 1, and this is perhaps the most beautiful of all, he is our help, a very present help, or ever-present help, depending on your translation, in trouble. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? He is an ever-present help in trouble. Now, take that word trouble there for a moment. It's a very interesting word. The Hebrew word translated trouble there refers to someone in a tight place, someone trapped, someone who feels in a place that they can't get out of. And I'm sure that we can, in some little way, perhaps identify with the feeling of being trapped over recent months, maybe trapped in our homes, unable to get out, unable to go to church and meet with our fellow Christians and so on. We can feel trapped mentally, physically, maybe spiritually. Well, that's what the word means there. When we feel trapped in a situation from which we can see no way out, God is our ever-present help. That Greek, that Hebrew word as well, can be translated well-proved. And I like that as well. He's ever-present. He's always there to help us. But it is a well-proved help. Proved, I trust, by us, because we've known his help before. But what it means is, any situation that we come to doesn't take God by surprise. He's been there before with his people, and he's seen them through it, and he has proven to be able to help people in whatever their situation and circumstances may be. Another lovely verse from the Psalm, 145, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth." He is near. He is our help in times of trouble. But maybe that begs a question in our minds. How does God help? If he is our ever-present help in times of trouble, how does he help? What type of help does he give? I would suggest to you a few ways. He helps us by giving us the ability to cope and to bear the situation. Remember Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So one way in which we are given help is help to bear the situation, help to cope with the situation, all that we need in order to be sustained through it. He gives us help to survive the situation. Notice the phrase again in verse 1, a very present help in trouble. So he's not saying, "I promise to take you out of trouble," or at least not yet. He's not saying that, "Oh, this won't last long, you'll soon be delivered." The help comes while we are in the trouble. That's why he's the ever-present help. And he gives us the grace then in order to survive it until the time when he says, enough is enough. You've borne enough. Now I will take you out of it. He also helps us by giving us strength, the strength we need to cope with the situation. He can help us very often by speaking through his word. I've heard recently a number of testimonies of the persecuted church in various countries in the world. And many of the testimonies I've heard, these persecuted believers who are being trapped very often in prison, in isolation, whatever it may be, they say the greatest help they've had, what has really sustained them, is God's word. God speaking through his word, meeting their particular need at any particular time. Let's value God's word and treasure it. He can also help us by giving us an eternal perspective. We don't see things as unbelievers see them. We don't look through secular eyes or the eyes of the world, but he gives us spiritual eyes. He gives us eyes of faith. He gives us a much broader perspective. Think, for example, of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. When Paul said, this slight momentary affliction, and he knew what we would call great suffering. This slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So when we look at what we are going through now, we don't see this as all there is. We see something far greater, far more wonderful yet to come. We have a different perspective. So what does this all mean for us? Well, verses 2 and 3 tell us. It means we have no need to fear. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Why do we have no need to fear? Because God is in control. Look at the kind of imagery we've got there. We've got the imagery of earthquakes, landslides, raging sea, very dramatic things happening, very frightening things, things that would cause us to be very fearful. And yet the psalmist knows we need not fear, because in that trouble, God is our refuge, God is our strength, God is our help. He is in control. Circumstances may change, and how they've changed over recent months, but God never changes. He's always our refuge, always our strength, always our fortress, always our help. So we can see there God's protection. Secondly, what do we see about God? We see his power. Verses 6 to 9 in particular. We'll come back to the verses I missed out a little later on. Verse 6 there. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. We have a picture here of general confusion, general panic. We've seen a lot of that, haven't we, over recent months as well. Just try and grasp those words. Raging nations, tottering kingdoms. And what happens? God simply utters his voice and the earth melts. All God has to do in that situation is speak. He speaks for the earth to melt, for the enemy to be defeated, and it happens. The power of God's spoken word. Remember that well-known story in the Gospels when Jesus and the disciples were on the boat on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up. Those poor disciples are beginning to panic, get a bit afraid. Even hardened sailors like they were, this was some storm. And what does Jesus do? He simply utters, in English, three words. In Greek and Aramaic, it's two words. Peace, be still. And as soon as he had spoken into the situation, we read, there was a great calm. Apply that to the situations of our lives. Maybe in the last few months, we've been tempted to panic, been tempted to go into an element of confusion, anxiety, worry. Where's all this going? How's it going to end? What's going to happen to me and my family? Maybe my job or my health, my finances, whatever it may be. And we can go into a whirlwind of panic and confusion. God has the power to speak into our souls in that situation. simply saying, peace, be still, and giving us a great calm. The power of God's word. Look in verse 7 there. Look at the name of God used. You've got the ESV, it says the Lord of hosts. The NIV says the Lord Almighty. That's probably the strongest title of God of the many that are given that the psalmist could have used there. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. It means the Lord of the armies of heaven and earth. It means that he is the supreme commander. Kings think they have power. Emperors think they have power. Presidents, prime ministers, and so on. But what this shows is that our supreme commander, the one with all the power, is the Lord Almighty, and he is still totally in control. So what do we see here? We see God's power in the situation. Verses 8 and 9, look at that. Come, says the psalmist, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariots with fire, and so on. Notice that phrase. He has brought desolations on earth. He has brought COVID-19. He has brought pestilence. He has brought plague. He has brought all manners of desolations on earth. But we also read he brings them to an end. He makes wars cease, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and so on. Think now the situation I suggested this psalm was written in, when Jerusalem was surrounded by a foe that it would seem impossible to defeat, getting on for 200,000 soldiers against the people in Jerusalem who were starving, who were weak, who were defenseless. And God says, I know the time to bring an end to your desolation, a time to make the war to cease, break the bow, shatter the spear, and so on. And he did it by sending one angel. That's all it took. Not an army of angels. Just one angel was sent, sent the plague into the Assyrian army, and the whole problem was sorted out without a battle in an instant and overnight. God's power to change things. He is a God who is in control. He is a God of all power. And he's a God who has the power to change things in an instant. So we see here God's protection. We see his power. And the third thing we see is God's presence. In many ways, this is the main emphasis of the psalm. We see it in verse 1, 5, 7, 10, 11. The presence of God with his people in all circumstances. You've already noted verse 1, our very present help in trouble. Look in verse 5. We see that God is where his people are. Speaking of Jerusalem, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. God is where his people are. He is within. He is in the midst. He will help. In other words, he's no onlooker. He's no spectator. He is in the situation, actively working for his people. I'm sure that Hezekiah didn't expect to see the literal fulfillment of that. When it says there that God is in the midst, she shall not be moved, God will help her when morning dawns. When morning dawned, he found all the enemy were dead or had scattered. God is working in the midst of his people for the benefit of his people. Verses 7 and 11, we got the repeated phrase, the Lord of hosts is with us in the trouble. I came across recently a nice little story that I think illustrates this quite nicely. It refers to what we used to call Red Indians. Don't think you're allowed to say that anymore, are you? So better cut that out, Mark. American Indians, I think you say now. The American Indians, when they were training their young men, they would teach them how to hunt, how to fish, how to trek, and all of these skills that they needed. Then on the 13th birthday of the son, what they would do is send the young boy into the thick forest to spend a night there alone. It would be his first time away from home. He was taken blindfolded, so he wouldn't know where he was and wouldn't know his way back. And this poor 13-year-old boy was left alone in the forest with all the sounds that you get at night, all the animals and so on crowding around. Usually these boys would be absolutely scared stiff. Every noise, every movement, they would be on tenterhooks. And yet when that 13-year-old boy in the morning came out of his tent and he looked, he would see just a little way away in the bushes, his father was there with a bow and arrow. And his father had been there all night watching over him. And he had the weapons that were needed in case any trouble came and the animals came to scare them off or to kill them. He was there all night watching over his son, unknown to him. And I thought, what a lovely picture of what we see here, that God is with his people in our trouble, in our trial, to protect us, often unseen. We are unaware of what God is doing very often, unaware very often of the resources he has for our benefit in any given situation. How God is there watching over us, and he'll say, that's enough. You need bear this trial no longer. You've borne it long enough. God is with his people to protect them. This shows us then that he allows us to have these troubles, these tight places. Why? Let me suggest a few reasons. Main one is probably this, that our faith may be strengthened. When we look back over our life, and I can probably look back over more years than nearly any of you on the screen there looking around, although one or two might run me close. When we look back over all of our life as a Christian, and look, when is the time when I've grown closer to the Lord? When my faith has been strengthened? It's usually in times that we would rather have chosen not to have been in. Times of difficulty, maybe times of sadness, times of stress or anxiety. And it's often in those times that God says, I'm letting you go through those times that your faith may be strengthened and that I may be proved. Isn't it in times like that that we prove the reality of God's grace in our lives far more than when things are going fine and there aren't any problems? It's in times like that that spiritual growth will often take place. Remember those oft-quoted words of C.S. Lewis, who said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. The time when God speaks loudest and clearest to us. We can see from this wonderful psalm that God is always at our side. You know, John Wesley, at the very end of his life, he was well into his 80s. He was about to die. He was very weak. He was very frail. He was bedridden. He could hardly speak. But just before he died, there was someone came with him to pray to him and was speaking to him. And John Wesley summoned enough breath to say to him, and he was looking upwards as if looking into heaven when he spoke it. He said, the best of all is God is with us. And see if you can imagine it. This frail, weak old servant of God, summoning all of his strength, he raised his arm, he pointed to heaven in triumph, and he repeated it again. The best of all is God is with us. We experience that in times of trouble. Finally, what can we learn from this by way of practical application? It's in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Literally, that be still means take your hands off the control and relax. We like to be hands-on, don't we? We like to be managing our own lives. We like to think that really we are in control and that we can do things our way. What God is saying is, be still. Take your hands off the control and relax. Let me control your life. You do it my way, and you'll see how things pan out. The antidote to panic or fear is giving over control of our lives to God, because he is perfect. He is sovereign over all, He's always working for the good of his people. Psalm 62 says, power belongs to God, and to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Isn't that a perfect combination? Power and love. Our God has both. All the power to help us in our need, and all the love that we need to know that he cares for us and he's with us in that situation. So this little psalm here that we just had a quick look through, showing us how God can help us in times of trouble by his protection, by his power, by his presence. So when we come to pray in a few minutes' time, perhaps we could pray that we would know God's protection day by day, that we would understand more of the reality of his power in our lives, and maybe above all, day by day, experience the reality of his presence as we live in these COVID-infested days, knowing the best of all is God is with us.